Let It Be has to be one of my favorite, I'm going to call it a hymn this morning, by Paul McCartney and the Beatles. This is the first verse. Paul writes, "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she's standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be." Paul McCartney wrote those words in 1969. And for all of these years, we've believed that the Mother Mary that he was singing about was actually Mary, the mother of Jesus. But just a few years ago, Paul McCartney, in an interview with James Corden, said that the Mary in his dream was actually his mother. In a moment when he was brokenhearted and lost, it was his mother who came to him just saying, "Let it be, let it be, let it be." And then McCartney goes on to say that "let it be" means let go. Let go. Relax. Don't worry about your troubles. These are words of comfort, reminding us not to think about the sad things too much. To accept the bad things that have happened and that we cannot change, just to let it be. That is sage advice, friends, but bad theology. There's great wisdom in learning to let it be, but that doesn't always make for great theology. But hopefully this morning, as we gather together to celebrate the birth of Christ among us, we can find new ways to let it be. That allow us to rejoice in the birth of our Savior. So I want to ask you to bear with me for a minute. I want to ask you to think about this past year, 2021. This is our last opportunity to gather in this calendar year. Think about this last year, the 52 weeks that were 2021, or 52 months that were 2021. Think about the triumphs. Think about the tragedies. Think about those moments of your life that brought you joy, the moments that brought you pain, and the many, 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 many moments that were somewhere in between. I'm going to give you just a few moments to think on them, to take them all in, and then let it be. Friends, it's Christmas, so let it be. The Savior has come, let it be. Angels are singing, let it be. We who have walked in darkness and dwelled in the valley of the shadow of death have seen a great light, let it be. A child is born in a manger, let it be. A son has been given to us, let it be. The gates of heaven have been flung open wide, let it be. And the Creator now dwells with the created, let it be, let it be, let it be. See, this is the power of Christmas and the power of our Messiah's birth, that everything we've seen and known and experienced gets completely reframed, that our old ways of living and being get turned upside down and remade, reformed into new ways of being and living. Christmas can take a year's worth of disappointment and struggle and heartache and pain and have it all melt away in the hope, joy, the peace, and the love that Christmas brings. We just have to let it be. We just have to let it be. Which brings me to this morning's scripture that comes to us from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. This is the story of Jesus' presentation at the temple. This would have been 40 days after Jesus was born. And the reason for this family trip to the temple was to offer a sacrifice for Mary's purification and the initiation of Jesus into the covenant of Israel. When Jesus would have been presented, there would have been an offering of blood, and then Jesus would have been washed by the priest to incorporate him into the covenant of God. So hear now these words from Luke 2:22-38. It says there, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Simeon and Anna, a righteous man and a prophetess. Two people who had waited their entire lives to catch a glimpse of God's redemption come to the temple of God not to see a general, not to see a liberator or a hero, but a child. A child full of promise who would bring hope, joy, love, and peace to the world. Simeon's righteous work that day at the temple, Anna's prophetic work that day, wasn't work at all. It was just to let it be. It was just to let it be, to remember that God had not forgotten them and had not forgotten Israel. To let it be and know that the redemption of the whole of creation that began with Adam and Eve in the garden, and Noah at the flood, and Abraham with his children, and Moses at the Exodus, and David in the nation of Israel, was finally coming to fruition. The plan was finally breaking into the world. It was finally coming to pass. And there was nothing to do but to let it be. To bask in the glory of a moment. To set aside the pain of the past, the tragedies of yesterday, and take up the hope that only the Messiah can bring. And I want to ask you to do the same thing today. To let it be Christmas. To let it be Christmas. Just let it be. To trust what you see and what you know about Jesus and allow that trust to well up into faith and joy. An abundant life, life that truly is life. You see, Christmas is not just a reminder that God has come to be with us. It's a reminder that God has conquered all of this. All of it. all of creation, all of life, all of death, all of sin, all of struggle, all of pain. It's all conquered. And we can let it be because it is finished. It's finished. Bill said on Christmas Eve, without Easter, there is no Christmas. And his father was right. Without Easter, there is no Christmas. But Christmas people, don't forget that we are Easter people. And because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can let it be. Would you pray with me this morning? Almighty God, on this last Sunday of the calendar year, we bring to you the fullness of this past year and all the years that preceded it. And we lay them down at the foot of your cross and before your throne so that we might let it be, so that we can step into the life that you and you alone offer us. Lord Jesus, as we're gathered in this room this morning to sing and to praise and to remember the story of your birth, make us ever mindful of your death and resurrection, that we might be your people and that you might be our God once more. Bless us and keep us on this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.